when you get to scale, this is where you care about. This is where your COO is knocking on your door and telling you, hey, dude, you just consumed $10 million of resource in the last quarter. This is where R&D groups are getting into the details of where the compute consumption is. Why am I paying so much on networking or on storage? And you start to optimize that.
Welcome back to another episode. We are so glad to have you here today because we are talking to Moshe, who's going to tell us all about what he's doing with his AI implementation. Moshe, tell us what's going on. Who are you and what do you do with your business?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me. So my name is Moshe Tanach. I'm a husband to Edith, my soulmate wife, and a father to three amazing grown-up kids.
Nice.
That I consider my friends and mentors. I'm the co-founder of, and CEO of New Reality, in which we're transforming how companies deploy AI inferencing into their products and services. I've been in the semiconductor business for the last 25 years, fortunate enough to spend roughly half in very successful startups.
Nice.
Like Designer Networks, where we built a 4G base station on a chip.
Whoa.
And got acquired by Qualcomm. And on the nice. Other side, beyond the big corporates like Intel and Marvell, where I headed the Wi-Fi division in Intel. And right before founding New Reality, I was the head of product definition and architecture in the networking division of Marvell.
Wow. That's a big deal.
I think startups and corporates are very different in their pace, focus, persistency, resilience. And I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be admitted to both of these schools, the startup right. world and the corporates.
That's not normal. Most people that go corporate, they're corporate forever. And most people that are startup, they end up, you know, a lot of them do end up either having a massive success and they never go back to corporate, or they keep developing for corporate. So tell us how you fit in the mix here. You've had some amazing exits, it sounds like, and been part of some really cool startups. This is a pretty massive thing that you're trying to do here. Tell us what you're doing. How are you incorporating the AI into the semiconductor experience that you've got and building a business out of this? Who's your client?
So our clients is any customer that owns a data center or use a data center.
Okay.
You can look at the big hyperscalers that lead the world in terms of AI deployment.
Okay.
And you can look on a software as a service company, a SaaS company using AI as a service on the cloud, or a big bank or insurance company that owns his own data center.
Yeah.
So all of these that are deploying AI are natural customers. We're focusing on the AI inference.
Okay.
It's the process that leverage trained models that we train to classify images or translate language, or like ChatGPT. It leverage those trained model and deploy them in a real application. So the inference is less complex in terms of compute, but the cost pressure is much higher because this is your cost of sale. This is where your margins come from. It's not
right.
training. Where it's R&D spending and you're developing something. So it has its own budgets.
I mean, a lot of people are going to be confused because, you know, I would say everyone outside of knowing how servers operate and how the resources of a server actually operate. I mean, a lot of people are somewhat familiar with like an AWS execution, right? Like I just built a tool based on AWS, and all that they really understand is, as my business grows, I need more servers, right? And what you're saying is that servers aren't, that's not the only thing you need. You actually have to have an intelligent way of utilizing the resources of those servers before you're able to fully execute something like an AI component or an AI application. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. I think when you look on all the AI users in the world today, you have the early development cycle, the exploration phase.
Yeah.
And this is where you use AWS or Azure or any other platform that allows you to very fast turn around, train your model, embed it in your line of application and start using it. When you get to scale, this is where you care about. This is where your COO is knocking on your door and telling you, hey, dude, you just consumed $10 million of resource in the last quarter.
Right.
What are we doing about it? And this is where R&D groups, data scientists, deep learning engineers, IT, are getting into the details of where the compute consumption is. Why am I paying so much on networking or on storage? And you start to optimize stuff.
Yeah.
So in reality, we looked at the inference problem that starts in the virtual clients that wants to leverage the service and ends in the server itself and how it is built. And we kind of looked on where the efficiency, where we're losing in efficiency, and how can we give those customers an easy way to deploy.
Right.
Because it's tough to optimize your use case.
Right.
You need all sorts of engineers, and if we can give them easy to use APIs that can optimize it and move them to use a different piece of hardware that is transparent to them,
then
we can bring a lot of value, and the value will be in two angles. One, you can allow the hyperscalers to scale better and lower the power consumption and be more, you know, invest more in sustainability.
Right.
But you can also open the door to companies that don't use AI today because it's too complex and it's too costly. So this is where we are focused.
I mean, half of it comes from over focusing on having to train something new, right? And what you're doing is you're coming in with a pre-trained protocol of how to analyze what resources are being used and then automatically engage in moving different server structures based off the actual demand. Is that kind of what you're up to?
Close.
It's
more looking on the server and how it is built today. When you build an AI inference server, you leverage three technologies today. You leverage the main CPU from Intel or AMD that is the host of the server.
Right.
And then you have a couple of GPUs or ASIC that were designed to do the neural net processing, the deep learning processing. And the CPU is the host of those DLAs, those deep learning accelerators. And when you send, let's assume this is a backend server of Alexa. And you talk to your device at home, your voice is being sent to the cloud, and then there's a backend server there that is doing voice recognition or natural language processing. So the CPU is the one getting the request from your home, and then it hands the deep learning processing to the GPU.
Gotcha.
And when you serve thousands or hundreds of thousands of requests in the server every hour, then the CPU is becoming a bottleneck. So not only that you invest a lot of money and power consumption in the CPU that hosts those GPUs for the deep learning, the CPU is actually bottlenecking the system and you're underutilizing your GPU. So you lost on your capital expense because you just wasted money on silicon that is not being consumed. And you also spend a lot of power consumption and overhead of cost.
Yeah.
So you can introduce a new system architecture, just like the one we invented, and practically make the GPU a network attached device. Connect the GPU directly to the network instead of hosting it with the CPU. And that's what we do. We have a new processor that we call NAPU, Network Addressable Processing Unit. And it's a low cost, very high efficiency host for those deep learning accelerators.
Gotcha.
So in a sense, if I give you in layman word, an analogy, assume you take your Toyota Camry and you wanna race with it. So you take a Formula One engine, put it in your Camry,
right,
and you go out to the street, right, and you hit the gas, and the car falls apart.
Right.
So
we just
reinvented the system around the deep learning processors, so you can utilize them to 100%, and you can lower the overheads that surrounds those deep learning processors.
I gotcha.
You can leverage them better.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense. And so your real client avatars are hosting companies, people that are developing in a large scale on Google Cloud, AWS, any of these places, and are your clients the actual data centers themselves hosting these machines that are processing all the information?
So what you see today in the market is that most of the servers are being deployed in the cloud data centers,
yeah,
or in enterprise data centers. Take Bank of America or JP Morgan or a Visa MasterCard or a healthcare company or a government company. They have data centers. Data privacy regulations doesn't allow them to take some of it to the cloud.
Right.
So any customer that invests in AI, embed it in his digital products or services, can buy servers from us or can use our servers that are deployed in the cloud.
Gotcha. Just a few seconds to let you know about a project that we've been putting together for the last several months, and we're finally launching it, called the Captain's Council. You see, as a CEO or operator of a business, it can feel like you get stuck in your own head a lot of the time. You get challenges that you don't know how to resolve. You get people causing problems in your leadership team that you don't know how to resolve. And it's so hard to overcome those things by yourself. You don't have to anymore. Join the Captain's Council. Captain's Council is a group of other CEOs and operators and owners of businesses where we come together once a month for several hours to discuss the biggest challenges you're facing. You express to the council of 8 to 10 people about what's going on, where do you feel stuck? And these other people are in the same boat as you. They're running and operating their own businesses. They're your peers. They help you kind of dissect what's happening and help you see things that you may not have seen all by yourself. If you don't have a good, strong network of people around you, come join the Captain's Council. This is going to be something that will change the way you run your business and open your eyes to opportunities that you have never seen without the help of your peer group. Come check it out, captainscouncil.com. Smart. This is a huge problem you're solving. I mean, this is a massive, massive thing. And as more people are developing technology use cases with AI, it sounds like they're going to need it even more. So now that we have an idea of what your business is and who you're serving, tell us a little bit about the journey to this point. I mean, what have you, I can only imagine that this is a massive debt-heavy start to building this system, because you're producing hardware and you're producing basically firmware around that hardware to implement more efficient use case. How is this going? Like, how do you start something this big and find a path to revenue?
So, as always, it starts from understanding that there is a problem.
And, yeah.
You know, back in the days, 2018, 2019, where the deployment of AI started to scale, I was still in Marvell, and we were analyzing how to embed deep learning capabilities into our products. And,
right.
And I saw how the evolution of all these AI services and servers are being handled. Obviously, the GPU from NVIDIA won most of the deployment because it was the only solution ready and much better than a CPU.
Right.
But when you look on how the system is built, it was obvious that there's a lot of waste, and a lot of those things we saw already in storage 15 years ago when we started with the direct attached storage. Every server had his own hard drives, and then we move to network attached storage to to improve the efficiency. We added network protocols that are specialized for it. So I saw that AI are walking along the same footsteps. And it was obvious where it will go and what will be the barriers, at least to me and my partners, Tzvika and Yossi. So, so this is how we started. And back in 2020, when we started the company and we raised the first money, we immediately worked on a prototype based on FPGAs that can prove to all these hyperscalers and enterprise companies and ecosystem partners like the OEMs, Lenovo, Dell, HPE, that this is a viable solution. So we built it in the first 9 months. We only raised about $7 million at the beginning. We recruited the team. And now 3 years later, we're about to launch our first first chip that we taped out a few months ago.
It's amazing.
So the road is tough. It's tough for a semiconductor company. This is harder for harder for investors to understand.
Right.
It's not like a Waze application that navigate the streets. It's deep tech. It's fundamental infrastructure. But when you build a prototype, when you show it to the real customers, when you get the feedback, then the investors start to understand this is a real thing. It's been validated in the market. And then we raised the second round of raised more than $35 million last year.
Nice.
It was a tough year. So when you identify the right problem and you get it validated in the market, then it becomes a bit easier to raise the second round, third round. But it's definitely a tough journey. And on the technology side, it's also tough because when we built the first prototype, we understood all the things that we didn't think of at the beginning. So
yeah.
The architecture had been evolving in the first 18 months based on the prototype feedback and everything. So it takes good talented engineers and funding.
Well, it does, but the returns are going to be enormous, assuming you get even one data center to rebuild their systems with your chip. It's going to make all the difference in the world, right?
It is. And you know, it's not only running running the compute and the server. It's not only the cost and the power consumption. Some of the customers tells us that they have a real estate problem.
Right.
Today, if you look at on a rack of servers, most of the racks in the world can support up to 12, 13 kilowatt. But today, when you take three servers, and you can deploy six or seven servers, four U servers in one rack. But when you buy these very expensive, high power consumption, NVIDIA-based servers, you can only deploy three of them, and then you're capped your power consumption. So they're finding themselves with empty racks, just adding more and more racks, and they're running out of room space.
Crazy.
So they have to buy another room, another data center. Not to even talk about the amount of carbon emission that is wasted, just because you're not using an advanced technology, an advanced architecture.
Well, and longevity of the hardware is a big function as well. I mean, you're able to stabilize the use of the resources so that it does last longer, I would imagine. I mean, you've got an amazing product here. So let's go back to the business side of this, though, because I'm really curious. A lot of people listening would never dare to go this deep into a program or a product before seeing revenue like you have. This is a lot of risk. And I think that as people think of growth and scaling, a lot of them, that means I've got product, I've got client acquisition, I've got stuff rolling within the first few months that I launched my business. And you're saying that 3 years into it, almost four, before you actually see the fruition of all of your work and your energy and your research and your product market fit and your analyzation. I mean, that is a lot of work to go in before actual product is developed and sent out. What do you have to do in your mind to make that justify in your head? We're raising 7 million, 35 million, and likely as soon as production starts, we're going to need another 100 million to sustain it. That's awesome.
Well, you just spooked another set of investors from investing in Neurality. No, but you know, laugh aside, I think you're on the spot here. Semiconductor entrepreneurship is tougher because the time to revenue is longer.
Right.
And that's why it's so critical to build a prototype. That's why a lot of the groups that are trying to build a company, a semiconductor company, are not able to raise money. I think when you come with the right people, with the experience,
right,
when you propose to do something that is disruptive, but you thought about all the angles. In our case, you know, if you come to Google and you propose to them a new type of hardware that mandates changing all the software that they have done,
right,
you have zero chance to sell them.
Right.
But when you come with a business case and with a technology roadmap that covers that part, that you're going to be a seamless integration. You're going to support exactly the framework that they use. You're building a Kubernetes native device.
Right.
Then right, investors bring their tech guys that check you, that do the due diligence and validate it. And I think this was the story around Neurality, with Zvika being the VP of backend in Mellanox, and Yossi that led the SmartNIC DPU in Mellanox, and Lior Hermosh, our CTO, that was a PMC fellow, and before that was in a couple of successful startups. So
right,
it's not a bunch of kids, 25-year-old with an idea of application.
People with
20, 25 years of experience in building chips and complex systems that are coming and putting their
it's amazing,
you know, record on the table and giving up the big salaries we got in the big corporates.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine this is a really, everyone's investing heavy in this, assuming that the technology works. What does the return look like? Because this is not the normal type of business profile we tend to have on the show, but this is enormous. I mean, what does a typical revenue cycle look like for you, and how does it get implemented?
So return can be huge. Really, really huge. This is why you see all these valuations around AI semiconductor companies. If you look up, you'll find the numbers. But you have to understand, when you look on ChatGPT, for instance, so about 2-3 months ago, it was reported to consume about $2 million of compute every day.
Wow.
So we're talking about $700 million of spending on compute. This is before adding on top of it margins to sell it as a software as a service. So there's a lot of money around AI.
Yeah.
And new markets are being invented as we speak around generative AI, LLMs, computer vision, recommendation engines. For us, a product line based on NAPUs for AI can get to $200-$600 million revenue, annual recurring revenue.
Love it.
In a matter of 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
And if this is going to be choice of hardware for the ultra scale applications, such as Siri, Alexa, recommendation engine in Meta, or then it can even surpass it by far and become a multi-billion revenue annually.
Wow. Well, I hope you get there. This is fascinating. I honestly love what you've shared with us, because it is definitely outside the normal box that we hear about of a problem that needs to be solved. We come up with a solution. We get people paying for it, you know, in a matter of months. I love this long tail a startup venture. You don't hear about too many semiconductor startups anymore, because a lot of that is owned by such massive organizations that they do the R&D themselves and they're trying to improve themselves. But how hard has it been? What's been the biggest challenge for you in trying to gain that trust from these people to say, hey, you know what, this is actually really going to help us?
I think the biggest challenge was, to pitch it to enough people until you find the one that is brave enough to go the long marathon instead of the faster turnaround.
Right.
Most of the seed investors, they don't look that far.
Right.
And they're trying to generate the small ARR revenue, and then based on that, do secondaries. I think we just, it took us time to find the right partners to join us. And thankfully, right. we have a list of investors such as Ezra Gardner from Varana Capital that is supporting us in financial roadmap, Gonzalo right. from Cardaman, Cleveland Avenue. And we have some corporate VCs such as Samsung and SK Hynix that are backing us.
Cool. Cool.
I think the start was very tough. Once you have a couple of good investors in the boat with you, the second and the third become easier as long as you execute and you deliver on your promise. And
right,
this is exactly
right.
what we've been doing.
And how do you build roadmaps for them to want to see? I mean, that it feels like such a daunting task. Building the roadmap for your investors to look at and say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Was that hard for you to do, to develop that?
Not much, because this is a complex program, but not something that we haven't done before.
I see.
Previous companies, and you build a technology roadmap and you build a business roadmap, and we've been working hard on the business side.
Yeah.
And you look on the value chain of a semiconductor companies like us. Usually, we don't sell directly to the hyperscalers or to the enterprise. There are the OEMs in the middle, like HPE, Dell, Lenovo, Cisco, and others. You have system integrators or value-add resellers like Wesco, WWT.
Right.
So you need to educate them.
Right.
So you do the demand creation working directly with the end customers, but eventually they will buy through the ecosystem.
Love it.
So if you look back, you'll see that we've been active in the last 2 years building this ecosystem.
Right.
So when the chip is ready, everything is already, all the relationships are established, the business models, the rev share agreements, etc. And if you think forward and you show investors a round plan for right. technology, for go-to-market, then they trust you and they follow you and they help you fine-tune it.
Love it. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation, Moshe. I think there's so much we could talk about. We can get really nerdy on this, but I think I'm going to let that go today, because really what we've been able to discuss is very valuable to a lot of people in the same boat of growth and scaling. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes some time. You've got to develop the strategy yeah. and the execution plan so that your clients, your investors, your family understand that, hey, we're putting in all this energy because here is the mother goal. Here's where we're really trying to get to. So I appreciate you sharing this all with us. Is there somebody who's been kind of in your network, in your corner, who's been able to either mentor or inspire you to keep on moving through this long game that you're playing here?
This is a tough question. There've been a couple of people on the way that gave me the power. But if my early days when I was a kid, I lost my father when I was 12.
Oh, sorry.
I think it put me into a situation that you're on your own. It's not that I didn't have my mother and sister, but sure. you're on your own. You don't have your father guidance anymore. And you understand at early stage that things can go south. And it created like a mentality for me that everything is possible. If you just sit down, draw the problem statement and insist on finding the solution. And, right. and the journey in neurality is exactly like that. There are days that, you know, you feel that you're stuck, whether you're fundraising or you have tough issues on the technology side that are pushing out your schedule.
Right.
And it's a downer. It's, you know, it makes it very, very tough. But persistency, resilience, are the things that, you know, insist on finding the solution, talking to your people, and looking at reality in the white of the eye, as we say in Hebrew, is what bring me to, what bring us to solve the problem and overcome the next barrier.
Love it. Well, Moshe, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Honestly, this is a fun conversation because it's different than the normal one that we usually have. And I hope you the best of success. I really feel like this is a, given the backing and the support you've received from your community, I can't wait to see this thing grow and see where you're at in 2024 with the growth and development of this company. So thanks so much for taking the time to be here with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, and good luck to all the entrepreneurs out there.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll catch the rest of you on the next episode. Hey, what did you think of that episode? I thought that the story was very interesting. The technology, obviously, is way beyond my ability to comprehend. It's amazing stuff. What a fascinating product. What a fascinating guy. And I wish him the best of luck in growing and scaling this thing as they get actual adoption and buy-in from these server companies. You know, one thing that Moshe and I talked about after the interview was the fact that, you know, building and developing and being at the head of a company like this is a very lonely proposition. It is nerve-wracking. There's so many things going on. And we have talked extensively about membership in the Captain's Council. Why? Because Captain's Council is a place where you can come as a CEO, as a founder of a company, and really find community amongst other people who are carrying the burden and the weight of their business on their own shoulders. That doesn't have to be you all alone. You can find community of other people carrying these the same burdens you are, and learning that there are ways to navigate these tough waters. So check out captainscouncil.com. They are the sponsor of today's episode. And it's important for you to understand that as a founder or operator of a business, you don't have to go it alone. You can find this community, find that there are people closely connected to you in the burdens that you carry who can help you do a better job of accelerating your business growth and scaling to the place you want to go. I love it. I love you for being here. Thanks for connecting with us on this podcast, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Growth and Scaling Podcast.